Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to worship at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the church where we are always seeking to know God, to love God, and to serve God. You have come on a great day because today we are continuing to celebrate the generous hearts that fill this congregation. I'm Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor. Our worship leaders today are Sarah Dick and Carol Kapuska, as well as our adult choir, led by our director, Susan. Pastor Lindsay's going to be bringing the message, and we're going to hear another testimony this morning, but I'll let you wait and be surprised about who it is. Please complete the connection cards that you'll find in the bulletin. Let us know that you're here and flip them over and check things that you would like to become involved in on the back. If there's something going on in your life, something in your heart that you're needing prayer, please fill out a prayer request card. It can be kept confidential with just the pastors or just the prayer team, or it can go on the prayer concern list. But we want to be praying with you. So put all of that into the offering plate, and it will be received and cared for. Now, we have a few announcements today. Today is Trunk or Treat. Yay! It's from 5 to 6:30. Kids can wear costumes, collect candy, play games. You can register online still. And we're still looking for volunteers to decorate your car trunks or your tables or donate candy. It's a great day for all the kids, and it's a great day to just celebrate. Today is also the crop walk. So if you're coming to the crop walk, arrive here at 1:30 to register, and you start walking through downtown Brighton at 2 o'clock. It's another wonderful, many, many, many years-long ministry that makes a difference all over our country. This Thursday is the Vena tailgate. If you have not been to the Vena tailgate, you ought to go because it's a whole bunch of fun. There's a silent auction. I don't know, when I was there, there was a band. Do they always have the band? Yeah, there's band. There's all kinds of stuff happening there. It's this Thursday. You can get tickets at the door, and the money goes to help our dental clinic that's right in our front parking lot. So it's great. All Saints Day is coming November the 3rd. At all of our worship services, we're going to be reading a list of loved ones who have died. Every year we create a new list. So that means if you have a loved one that you lost, that passed, and you'd like to hear their name read in one of the in all of the services, then please send that name to the church office by Tuesday, because that's when she's going to be putting together those slides. Finally, on November 10th, we will be observing Veterans Day. We're going to be sharing pictures of our veterans. If you have a veteran whose picture has not been included previously and you'd like to have them included, just email it to photo, P-H-O-T-O, at brightonfumc.org by next Sunday. But if you've already, if your picture has been in other years, you don't have to submit it again because we'll be showing all of those. And so I invite you to stand for our opening hymn, O God, our help in ages past, number 117.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord God, we know through you all things are possible. We come before you today, seeking a renewal of our hope for the future. When we have felt failure, help us to see the possibilities that lie ahead. Help us to trust in your purpose and listen for your guidance. Use us to give hope and encouragement to others as we grow together in you. Amen.
Church, It is a great joy to welcome forward this morning Dave and Pat Moore. They are longtime members of our congregation, and they're going to share a moment with us, a moment of faith and their involvement and their connection with this congregation as we're looking at our Rooted in Faith sermon series and stewardship this month. Dave and Pat, it is a great joy to welcome you up this morning to share with us. Let's welcome them.
Well, good morning. So now that we've been introduced, I'm Dave Moore.
And I'm Pat Moore.
And we'd like to take a few minutes to tell you about our early faith roots and in the United Methodist Church and how this community has been important to us and our family over the years. So I'll go first. I grew up on the east side at the Grosse Pointe United Methodist Church. And every Sunday was attend Sunday school, later went to Judson Collins camp, which doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately, was confirmed there. I joined the bell choir in middle school, played all the way through my high school years, and later there as an adult. I was an usher. Was on the trustees and the early days of their building committee.
So I grew up in the Catholic Church, as many of you know. I began attending the Methodist Church in Grosse Pointe with Dave when we started dating, and I always liked the welcoming fellowship time afterwards, and his parents knew everybody and introduced me to everybody. And so, and then we attended church in Midland and joined that church, back to Grosse Pointe, joined that church, and then when we moved here in 1988, we joined this church. So our daughters, Jennifer and Stephanie, grew up in this church. They were confirmed here. They attended Sunday school, church camp. They were active in the youth group, mission trips, and they were married by our clergy. They both went to Spring Arbor University, which is a Christian university, and now they're both faithful members of their own churches and their community. So in the past, I've been a Sunday school teacher with Greg and Lisa Geis, and now I'm active in Prayers and Squares, lead the Days for Girls Ministry, the Phoebe Circle, Memorial Garden Committee, Preschool Board, and Bell Choir. That's probably where you've seen me. So we're both looking forward to going to Liberia in February with Pastor John, and witness firsthand how our community continues to make an impact on the daily lives of people there.
So one of the things that we really came to witness is that as my parents were aging, we moved them here to Brighton, and they lived at Independence Village. I would bring them to church every Sunday, actually go get them and bring them in. And the care and the welcoming that we received from the congregation, the care that was given on a day-to-day basis, weekly visits by members here in the church over at Independence Village was so greatly appreciated. And the clergy helped in both of their memorial services. So that's something that it was just very touching to both of us. About myself, I've served on the fellowship committee, staff parish, ad board, and now spend a good part of my time on the building management committee, and looking forward to many of the projects that we will have coming that will be announced in the upcoming days and years at both of our campuses. So. We've been blessed to have this church as our faith community, and look forward to our continued support. So just as a part of a commercial, we encourage all of you to fill out your card, and you got another week to do so if you haven't already, as you can. Thank you.
On the church,
my church,
upon this rock, I'll build my kingdom on this earth.
I'll
build my church,
my church,
upon this rock,
this rock,
this solid rock,
this rock.
Timothy 6, 17 through 19. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Mark 12, 41 through 44. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, church. Oh, this is the day the Lord has made, a glorious, amazing fall day. Can you believe these gorgeous days that we have had? I think I heard that we're in a little bit of a drought, and that's not so great if I heard that correctly. But man, we have really been benefiting from the glorious warm weather of this fall season and the beauty of the changing leaves. And man, it fits in pretty well with our sermon series here that we're continuing on, being rooted in faith. Rooted in faith. Won't you please join me in a time of prayer? Oh, glorious and gracious God, this day that you have given us is a gift from you, and one that we might cherish. We give you thanks, God, for this opportunity to come and to worship, to sing praises to your name, to hear from the choir that will get us rocking and rolling and tapping our toes. And we give you thanks, Lord, for a congregation that provides hospitality and love and outpouring through cups of coffee and sweet treats. I give you thanks for a congregation that welcomes folks in, new and new to our community, and those who have been longtime worshipers here, that we can embrace and create community and support each other on this discipleship journey. Lord, what a glorious privilege it is to be a part of communities of faith. And on this amazing, beautiful morning, Lord, we give you thanks for your grace. We give you thanks for Jesus. We give you thanks for your abundant love. Oh, Lord, we give you thanks. And we count every single blessing that you have given us in great gratitude. Oh, Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer and the one who calls us your beautiful, beloved children of God. Speak to me and through me, Lord. Amen. As we're in this sermon series, as we're thinking about stewardship this time of year, we're thinking about being rooted in faith. And it's been a fun opportunity to hear some stories of people's roots and how they maybe grew up in the church and who those mentors are or those experiences that helped form and shape their faith journey a little bit. I've shared mine and Pastor John has shared his stories, and it was great to hear from Dave and Pat there in the back. I was just trying to get my eyes on them to hear their stories of their roots. And I've invited you at this time to be thinking about your own stories of roots and your own stories of faith formation, realizing that we have those stories and they're continuing to form and be shaped, and we get to have the great privilege and joy of helping shape the faith stories of those around us, being rooted in faith. Last week we were thinking about kind of reaching out into love, and today I think we're thinking about growing in hope, rooted in faith, reaching in love, and growing in hope. What is it in life that gives you great hope? Where do you place your hope? What is it that you hope for the future? For your children or your grandchildren or your community or for this congregation, for what is it that you are hopeful? This week I had an opportunity to share some stories and go down and visit our preschool children at the preschool downstairs. I was with the 3 and 4-year-olds reading a preschool story, and as we're sitting around the circle reading little stories, to look into their eyes and to see their joy as we're talking about little stories of faith, that gives me great hope. On Sunday nights, Pastor John gathers with some young adults in our congregation, those that have maybe been a part of this congregation for quite some time now, kind of growing up in it or having some, you know, at least teenage connections and are now young adults, and those who have moved into our community of faith that are young adults and young people, 20s and 30s, I'm no longer in that category, 20s and 30s, studying scripture and gathering for fellowship on a Sunday night. You could be doing a lot. That gives me great hope. Walking in the doors just to fellowship or past the fellowship hall, I'm sure that you saw the green and the white, that school, and the blue and the yellow, that school. And knowing that it's to support Vena, to provide dental care for folks who need some assistance in our community. That provides and gives me tremendous hope. to think about the amazing work that UMW does, United Methodist Women, Women in Faith, whichever branding you know it as, or, you know, UMW, to think about the way they are reaching and serving locally and globally around the world, helping women and children, impacting and sharing the love of Jesus. That gives me hope. To be thinking about all the small groups that gather, studying of Scripture, sharing of prayer concerns, joining with one another on their journeys of grief and healing, and knowing that they can find community in times of hardship, that gives me great hope. What is it that you hope for? What is it that you hope for and long for? What do you hope for? When we think about our faith and when we think about our generosity, one thing I think that God hopes for us is that we will continue to grow to be generous, loving people created in God's image. From those roots that we're raised, from those interlocking webs below the soil that we can't see, I think God hopes that we continue to grow up in the faith and reach out in love and grow in hope that we might share our love of God in the world and reflect that. I think God hopes for us to continue to grow in our generosity and grow in our giving, to continue to grow and think not just of our own selves and our own needs, but to be thinking, how can I be a servant of Jesus Christ and give of what I have? Whether that's the giving of my time and my talents or my tithe, I think that's what God hopes for us. One thing. We call that kingdom building work. When we're a part of helping make this place more heavenly like, we call that kingdom building work. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To be a part of the kingdom building work here. And that's what I hope. That we would join the kingdom building work. Every time we take time to connect with that child or to connect in Bible study or to serve in mission or to reach out in love, we're a part of the kingdom building work. The scripture passage this morning that Sarah read for us speaks of a woman who was a part of the work of kingdom building. I want us to hear this scripture message again, but we're going to hear it in a different translation. Let's hear it this morning one more time. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury, and many rich people put in large sums, but a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. And then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who contribute to the treasury. For all of them contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she has, all that she had to live on." This woman had only a little few resources at her disposal, and yet she felt this nudge, this urging, this calling to live generously, to be a part of the work of kingdom building. Sometimes we think that just the two little pennies in our pocket or maybe the $50 in our budget that we can contribute doesn't really matter. But it does. No matter how big or small of a gift that God has given us, we can use it in serving others and impacting this world. Whether it be two small copper coins or $50 in your budget or $500 or $1,000 or thousand a month or whatever your giving abilities are within your home family budget, God can take whatever that is and use it in service to changing lives and changing the world and forever making a tremendous impact. Just when we feel like we don't have anything to give, there's something that we can give to make a difference. There's this story, it's called All She Had. I know I've shared this story at a previous congregation or two, so forgive me if you've heard this story. I can't quite remember if I've shared this story. Let's hear this story together again. Maybe it's familiar, maybe it's new. I can't recall. This is the story. Mrs. Yang looked around and she lowered her head, shaking it slowly from side to side. There had been a big flood in her village in Taiwan. So many homes had been destroyed. And the church building was ruined too. And every Sunday, Mrs. Yang would walk more than 1 hour to the little Mennonite church, and every week she looked forward to worshiping there with other Christians. And now the church was gone. Where would they worship? Where would they gather? One Sunday morning, Mrs. Yang got up early as usual, and she started to walk along to the church, and she prayed for others along her way. And as she neared the place where the building had been, she could see her church, the people, not the building. Then it dawned on her the church was still there. The church meant the gathered people, not just a building. The group gathered in an old, tiny shed, and it was a tight fit, but it was a place for the church to meet. The congregation knew they needed another place to meet, and many of them were old like Mrs. Yang, and their homes, too, had been damaged. They didn't have enough money for their own home repairs and construction. Where would they find money to build another meeting place for the church? Well, one morning, the pastor led a prayer meeting, and the church prayed hard for money to build this new gathering place for their church, and the pastor also encouraged the people to give, and he said, if we give what we can, then our brothers and sisters and other Mennonite churches, they will help us, and God will provide. Well, Mrs. Yang closed her eyes, bowed her head, and prayed silently, saying, God, I want to have a church building to meet in, but I'm too old to help build it physically, but I want to do something to help. Although I'm poor and don't have much, please show me what I can give. She opened her eyes with her hands still bowed, and she looked right at the ring on her finger. It was a special ring. Her husband had given it to her as a wedding gift. The ring meant so much to Mrs. Yang, and she smiled as she remembered the many happy times they had together, and suddenly Mrs. Yang knew what she could give. She waited until the meeting was over and quietly approached the pastor, and then Mrs. Yang slipped off the ring from her finger and gave it to him, saying, "It's all I have. It's very old, but it's made of gold, so please use it to help build the church." A tear formed in the pastor's eyes as he realized the gift that Mrs. Yang was offering, and she was giving her most valuable possession for the work of the church, and others in that church were also so generous. They gave of the little that they had, and in a year and a half, a new church building was constructed, and Mrs. Yang praised God, saying, "Thank you, God, for this new building, and the church can once again worship together." When I hear stories like that, it's unbelievable. My goodness, God was working on her heart, I guess, to talk about some extravagant generosity. I don't know if I'd be able to do what she did, and I don't even know if God really calls us to do something so hard as that, but I think the point of it is that even when we feel like we don't have anything to give, do we have our time to share? Do we have our talents to share? Do we have some financial gifts to share with God and the church so that we can be a part of the kingdom building work, however big or small? It all matters in working together. I have great hope and know that God is up to amazing things in this community of faith. as we're reaching out into the local community and across the state and around the world. And I have great hope that God has great days ahead for us to be able to be a part of the amazing kingdom building work to which God has called us. What is it that you hope for? And how might you be a part of making that happen in the world? What kingdom visions do you have? And how might you be a part of making that happen in the world? Through our generosity, through our time, talent, and treasure, let us be about the work to which God calls us. Let's pray. Oh, loving and gracious God, we are rooted in this faith and we seek to continue to grow our roots deep down in the soil, deep down in Christ. And then you call us to reach out in love, to grow in hope. But these aren't just things we pray for, God. They're things that you call us to be about, to join in your work, to join in your generosity, to join in your kingdom building. So God, thank you for that privilege and that call. Whatever gifts we have, big or small, they all matter. And we are thankful that you have blessed us. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
So one of the things that I love about this church is that there are so many missions and so many ways that you can participate. And I feel like in my faith journey that I've probably become the most rooted in my faith in the time that I have been here. I've grown quite a bit in the years that I've been here. And one of the like I said, one of the things that I love is that you can participate in so many ways. One of the ways that people join in mission is through Vena Dental Clinic. They help with the U of M MSU participation. You can participate maybe with the prayer quilts. Or we even can participate by tying knots and saying prayers over them. Today's three prayer quilts happen to be for Dylan. They're for Gary Lee, and then they're for another child of God. And we can tie knots and say prayers over them and do that. You can actually do this job. You can be a worship host. And that's probably where I have felt that I've gained the most in rooting in my faith, because before I come up with my prayer, I'm actually thinking about what the topic, what the theme is. And so for hope this time, it's so funny how I think I'm never going to be able to come up with a story or something that gives me a connection to the theme, and then it pops up that week before I'm doing the prayer, and it's like miraculous. And I would be so happy if you could experience that like I do. It's just super joyous. So I happen to have this week excellent examples of hope. So I find it very easy in my life to feel hopeless. I know it's a horrible feeling, but we often, on the continuum, we see hopeless as easy to come up with examples or things that we can point out. And this week, I have two seniors in high school in my life that I'm working with that are giving me excellent examples of hope. They're Charlie and Ashton, and they're both 18 years old. And Charlie, I think I might have shared this story before, Charlie had a horrible car accident and in March, and he had he hit a tree head on in his car and had a horrible brain injury, was in a coma, and literally in the back of the church before service, I was watching a video of him on Facebook. They had said he wouldn't walk, he wouldn't talk, they weren't sure he would wake up out of a coma, but in this video, he was finishing One of his peers in cross country was helping him to walk across the finish line of cross country meet. And I work with Charlie, and he is like an example of hope. And so I take that, and then I go to Ashton this week, who is struggling to graduate as a senior. He has 4 credits. As I work with him, he struggles to read. He's having a very hard time in everything school. But then as I work with him, he has the most spectacular hands-on skills. He can see something and make sense of it and put it together with his hands. And my job is to then take the hope examples that Charlie gives me and give them to Ashton so that he can see that even though he might not be good at school and be struggling to graduate, there is hope for him in the future, because not everything is about what you can do in school. So after saying all of that, that is what went into my prayer of hope today. Please join me. Gracious and loving God, a God that gives us hope for the present and for those times in the future, you sent your only Son to walk among us. You saw hope in humanity. You see hope in humanity. We pray for your hope to be ours. We are so grateful for those moments that just when we think things are tiring and seem purposeless and we feel burnt out, that you place in our path our purposes for doing what we do, those reminders of hope, those people who show us our purpose and reason for hope. Lord, thank you for putting us in the pathways of others to provide them with hope. Whether it be through our missions, such as Redbird, providing supplies for hurricane victims, supporting Vena Dental Clinic, or maybe it is in our work, our family, our neighborhood. We pray that our feeling of hope today spreads beyond these walls. We pray that you provide that hope to those that are experiencing great grief and loss, those that are ill in body, mind, or spirit. We pray that we can be the conduit for that hope. Strengthen our hope for peace, our hope for those that suffer violence, hope of justice for those that are victimized. We pray that you send us out as your hands and feet. Send us out to help those without shelter, those cold and lonely, those that need help advocating for themselves, and to help those in whatever they may need. You tell us that those who hope in you will have their strength renewed. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Thank you for giving us strength when we are weary and reminding us that the results of whatever situation we may find ourselves, those results are not uncertain, but that, God, you will renew our strength. You are so great, and while we may have limitations, you do not. Our faith in you allows for that feeling of control and the social circle of support that all those who hope in the Lord, we can find strength. We can feel comfort, and then we can provide others comfort and strength. And now let's pray for a moment for our own needs for comfort and strength. And now let's join our voices together in saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we prepare to give our tithes and our offerings this morning, I invite you to remember a time when you shared your gifts with someone else, and afterwards you felt personally blessed. Remember that as the ushers come forward.
Now for a little silly fun. So I'm wearing this because this afternoon at Trunk or Treat, we are going to be having, this is Lily, one of our teenagers who's part of youth group, we're going to be having a fun Trunk or Treat event with candy and goodies and some fun bingo games and all that, good costumes and whatnot. So you're invited to come out to the silly fun and the enjoyment of that and the outreach into the community to help the community know, well, who is this church? They must be about some fun, and I think I'd like to check them out. So it invites you to come to Trunk or Treat this afternoon. Whether you have little ones or just want to come be a part of the festivities, please come. And then, once you make your way through all the trunks and people dressed as witches and silliness and having a great time, I would invite you to come on inside the doors of the well. Did you know that we have a student ministry, a youth ministry center, where on Wednesday nights we'll be hanging out with Lily and other teenagers? It's that house right there on Brighton Lake Road. And when you come on in, you're going to discover some more fun. Bingo will be taking place, and you're going to see the teenagers hard at work brewing coffee drinks and serving hot dogs and doing all sorts of great stuff, because we're doing Coffee House for a Cause. Now, what's this cause? We've done this a couple times now. We're going to be doing Coffee House for a Cause, and you'll be able to find the menu posted on the wall, and it'll be free will donations, and our Coffee House for the Cause is going to support UMCOR. It stands for United Methodist Committee on Relief. And in cases of disaster, in cases of wildfire or hurricanes, or tornadoes or flooding, United Methodists are there to help provide disaster relief. So the teenagers want to help do something. They want to be a part of the kingdom building work in the world. They want to find a way to generously share with other folks. And so we're raising money for Coffee House for a Cause to support UMCOR, who will help in times of natural disasters. So won't you please come? It's from 5 to 6:30 tonight. So bring an empty stomach, and we can help fill it up with hot dogs and coffee drinks and pop and soda and all that good stuff. Say hi to the teenagers, and if you want to play along and bring a costume, you're welcome to as well. And now I invite you to turn your attention to the screen to hear a little bit about UMCOR and the ministry and the work that we do with UMCOR in the world.
When Hurricane Helene struck, it left devastation and heartbreak. But through the United Methodist Connection, hope arrived. United Methodists are providing food, water, and essential supplies, clearing debris from homes and churches, providing access to solar power. You can be part of this response too. Pray for families whose lives have been upended. Serve by making relief kits. Give to support recovery efforts. We can be the hands and feet of Jesus, walking alongside those who are suffering. To learn more or to give, visit umcmission.org.
Lord God, who has given us everything we have, we bring our offerings today in the hope that your church will grow. Use our resources to make a change in the world through this church community. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Dear church, for what is it that you are hoping this day, this week, this month, this year? What is your hope? I pray your hope is in Jesus, and I pray that you will share that hope, that love, that light, that generosity and joy with the world. Go forth this day to share of your time, your talents, and your treasure in God's name. And I also hope that you'll stop by Trunk or Treat and Coffee House for a cause. Go in God's peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.